When I was in seminary, I participated in what is called clinical pastoral education. This was a training program for pastors to work with people that are in crisis. In one teaching session, the supervisor always had these teaching moments when he would talk with us about important aspects of ministry. And in this particular time, he was talking about service. So I felt pretty confident. I knew the Church of the Brethren, and I chimed up, well, we as Church of the Brethren people, we like to do service. And I'll never forget this haughty response. Yes, that is true. However, your group wears themselves out in serving others and lack of care for your spiritual well-being. Wow, did that burn. Now, I don't know how accurate that really is, because I've walked with this so long that I'm not sure I can separate that out. But I do know that from time to time, I sense people are burning out. That means you're losing meaning in what's happening. Maybe there's too much going on. Maybe your family life is not going well. Maybe things at the church don't feel quite right, and you just don't have the energy. But I've walked and planned and served with the question of my supervisor in my mind. I know we as brethren, at least in the circles I have walked through, like to wear our faith in program service. That is, if there's a program and we like it and we have gifts and abilities, we participate in it. And most of these people are very dedicated volunteers. They leave work early. Sometimes they have to leave work late and come and still give time and energy to accomplish the hard work of volunteer ministry. And the church's life is about volunteer ministry. The Christian walk is about volunteer responses to people that have special needs. The question I'd like us to struggle with out of today's sermon, which has to do with risk-taking and mission and service, is do we have a large enough vision for following Jesus Christ? And does it lead us to be the presence of Christ in that mission and vision? Both of today's scriptures have to do with the presence in ministry and mission and service. In his introduction to the message for the Old Testament book of Micah, Eugene Peterson writes about the importance of the prophet. The prophet, he enters a world in ruins, finding a world of moral rubble and spiritual disorder to take up the work of words to rebuild what human disobedience and mistrust demolished. Think about those words and as they might apply to these particular times in which we're living. He goes on to say, these prophets learn their speech from God. God grounded, God energized, and God passionate. I wonder, do we learn our acts of ministry and mission and service through God grounded, God energized, and God passionate? In the reading of Micah 6:6-8, what did you hear? Did you hear being sensitive and practice justice and fairness? Did you understand growing compassion and kindness as a part of that effort? And did you remember it all comes together as we faithfully and thoughtfully walk with God, the one who does ground us, energizes, and elevates our passion for service and mission? The question I continue to ponder, is mission and service important to those of us who follow Jesus? Robert Snaes in The Fruitful Congregation, and that's the book that's being used for the table talks downstairs, shares a bold revelation when he writes, risk-taking mission and service is so fundamental to the church's life that failure to practice it in some form results in a deterioration of the church's vitality and ability to form disciples of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? that if we're not there serving, and we're not there giving, and we're not there being sensitive to justice and where there's injustices, that it becomes debilitating to the reason to our life. And that's the reason for that is because we are created for a purpose. Churches aren't created to keep this building going. Churches aren't created just so we have a fun place to come and meet new people and be with our friends and fellowship. And we really had a great time at Guess Who's Coming last evening. It was fun. Wait till you see one of the pictures. But that's not what we're all about. That's just a side part of the development of our life together. The real purpose of our life together is taking risk, is being in mission, is looking forward to justice. And that brings me back to the missional pathway that I keep talking about among you. If you take Micah's scripture seriously, it has a mission pathway there. But notice what he says first. Do justice. That's what the Lord requires of you. He doesn't start with come together and worship God. He says, go, do justice. Have open eyes and ears and hearts to those who exist around you that are suffering and hurting and struggling and being mistreated in any kind of fashion. And then he talks about how to go. And that's where our coming here begins to develop our life. We're to go with kindness. Now, I have to admit to you, I don't feel kind every day, do you? You feel on top of it every day and, wow, I'm going out there and do some justice today. Absolutely not. That's why we come together, because the third element of the missional pathway is walking humbly with God. That which grounds us and energizes us and gives us the passion for what we're about comes from the God who calls us into existence to send us forth to live a purpose that is far greater than any of us could anticipate. We're not to go alone, but we're to go with one another. Jesus going out and doing and serving and being mission was inspired by the second part of the missional pathway. For he said the Spirit of the Lord was on him. The Spirit of God was filling Jesus for the work that he was facing. And he spent time in prayer. He spent time around tables with his disciples. He trained them and equipped them and encouraged them. He listened to their griping and their grumbling. He listened to their successes and how they were wearing that big in their head. And he brought them down a notch. If you read the New Testament, Jesus is teaching the disciples to be followers, to be learners from him. As a congregation, something has happened to us. It probably has been there all the time, but way, way back when I first arrived here, we were pretty kind of feeling bad about ourselves, maybe not as up as we could be. That was understandable, going through a quick change. But we began a table conversation, and we talked about the need for small groups to energize us, to be a source of teaching us to be kind, to walk humbly with God. We talked about connecting with the community that's outside of us. I had no idea what that would mean for us, but God did. And there was a group of gifted and very able persons that became dreamers about how that should happen. Now, I didn't start with the board. It didn't start with any particular committee. It started with a group of people who began to capture a vision of possibility. And they understood there was educational inequity in our community. It's easy to look around us and see the wealth that exists around us. And probably most of us have to admit we're pretty comfortable. We live at the outer edges maybe of some of our finances, but we have enough to make it to go on. But there are poor among us. There are people who want to have an education, but it's hard. They can't afford tutors. They can't afford taking the money to prepare to take the exams to go to college. And so many of them don't make it. So this dream, I believe a God-planted dream, started emerging. And it has been gaining energy and gaining understanding about the way to take a risk and to live forward a purpose that God is placing at our doorstep. Now, I want to remind us, anything we undertake and do in the name of Jesus Christ has risk. After all, look what happened to him in the undertaking of God's mission here on earth. But in those risks, we make discoveries. In those risks, we help each other grow and develop our faith. Just listen to some of the risks, a part of OPAL, which is Oakton Partnership in Learning. I've asked Debbie just to share some of the risks that have been faced, are being faced, as we work forward in developing what begins, well, already has begun, but is developing into tutor training tomorrow night.
I have a really weird relationship with God. No, really, it's weird. Throughout my life, I have literally had an ongoing dialogue with God about what God thinks I'm capable of and what I'm pretty comfortable with being capable of. But God is quite resourceful. God knows how to get my attention when I am politely ignoring the call to risk-taking. God called me to teaching. He called me to children's ministry, and now to family ministry. When issuing challenges to take on risks in my life, God usually sends someone or several someones into my path with a pretty direct challenge. Well, we all love Pastor Randy, and God has done it again. Last spring, Pastor Randy started dropping these little, "Debbie, I want you to think about" statements. "Debbie, I want you to think about how you and CE can re-envision your job description to strengthen our ministry." "Okay, I can do that." And we did. "Debbie, I want you to think about these missional pathways." "I'm not sure what that is, and that sounds risky." Sometimes it was a personal conversation, but sometimes it was one of those pesky sermons that really hit home and God makes sure you're paying attention. "Okay, now I understand a little more about missional pathways, so I'll pray and think about it. Still sounds like I'm getting out of my comfort zone." When Pastor Randy shared the sermon about identifying our church's what our church's mission could be and that we needed to own that mission, God really started setting off bells and whistles in my brain. We started having more conversations with each other, and from that came more ideas. Risky, for sure, but God was pestering me all the time now. God sent Jan Fisher-Bachman to my side to tell me about the Faith in Action grant. I've written grants before, and I'm sure Colleen can help me, and probably some others. God wouldn't leave me alone. Even at my day job, I started to see need in the faces of my students. Some kids are able to get all the extra help they need because their parents can pay for it. I'm a part of that as a private tutor. And God said, "You can help share this with others." Now, I'm not saying that OPAL was my idea, because certainly not. It was God's, and Randy's, and Jan's, and Mary Beth's, and Carl's, and Bridget's, and Colleen's, and Kathy's, and Missy's, and yours. Yes, yours. Because we are a community of believers. So here we are. We've begun to take risks. What risks are left? Randy asked me what I was worried about. Okay, you asked, so here's a little peek into my mind. Will we get enough tutors? Will we get the students? Will we be able to feed them, help with travel? How do we reach people? Can I handle this? Can we handle this? Where would the time and energy come from? Who will step up? Who will sit back, not realizing that they could simply read a story or sing the ABCs to help a child learning to read? Who secretly thinks this is a bad idea? Will we live up to the faith the denomination has placed in us? Can we meet the needs of the students and families? Will the money last? Can we sustain it? Will the program fail? Will I fail? Will the program succeed? Am I ready for that? Are we? There's more, but Randy said to keep it to 2-3 minutes, and that was risky. He was expecting me to keep it short, which I'm not known for. But then again, that's what we have to do. We have to trust each other to make this work. So God is trusting us. Are you ready?
Thank you, Debbie. So ministry, mission, and service have risks associated with it. And if we don't believe it, just keep thinking about the various things that continue to unfold and knock at our doors. One of the risks could take on too much and not do well what we're doing. We could shut down some things that we're doing that maybe aren't as essential as could be. But we need to be careful we don't lose sight and vision of the purpose for which this church is called. Outreach giving, for instance. We do well at that, and that helps others do ministry we cannot be inside for. Brethren, service, going out and working with those who have been devastated by storms, we don't want to shut that down, but that takes some time and energy too. CHO has been very popular because we have some energy among us for that. Actually, I think it's one of the finest services in our community to help people that are just on that borderline. They have a place to live, but putting some furniture there, putting food there, putting clothing on their back. Why is all this important? Well, today's Matthew scripture opens the doors of our hearts more widely. You know, Jesus doesn't do much judging in the Bible. Yeah, he gets on the scribes and the Pharisees and kind of gets in their face and tells them some things they don't want to hear. Maybe he does that even here to us sometimes. But he separates the sheep and the goats, that analogy. You know, goats aren't very popular. Sheep are much more popular. The judgment is, if you see me naked and you don't clothe me, if you see me as a stranger and do not welcome me, if you see me hungry and do not feed me, if you see me in prison, and so on. And why does Jesus say that? He says it because what you do to the least of these, you do also to me. Now, that's a tough one. So we're going to have children, and we're going to have adults, and we're going to have people that dress like us and maybe don't talk so much like us. We're going to have people mingling around in this facility. But these are the people that Jesus is asking us to see him in. Will we? These are the people that maybe will even be led to see something more that needs to be done. Can we? Do justice. Be kind. And walk humbly with your God. But Robert Snace shares a story that I want to leave this sermon stirring around in our hearts and minds about. Because it's the way it often can happen, and it's something we want to be very, very careful about. One congregation, it happened to be United Methodist, because Robert Snace is a Methodist, so he knows the Methodist system well, he knows the congregations. A congregation in a community that had a neighborhood of Hispanic people, and they were struggling. Their houses were falling down around them. They were not making it. And so this church says, well, we can do it. We believe that's where God would want us to go. They had a number of people who had good carpenter skills. So on a Saturday morning, they brought together and loaded up their expensive tools in the back of their SUVs and showed up in the neighborhood with their Starbucks in one hand and their iPhone or Androids in another, and unloaded and began to work. And the Hispanic families were ecstatic. They were very grateful for this act of kindness shown to them. And they didn't want to be out of the loop. They wanted to be in it. So they said, can we help? Now, the people doing this really meant this well. No, that's okay. Just sit there. We'll do it. Well, the word got back to the church that even though the Hispanic people felt honored that someone would care enough to come and work in that situation, they felt like, as onlookers, useless and poor in spirit because of the refusal of the workers to let them help. This was an unanticipated risk. And I'm reminding us, mission and service have unanticipated risks. Well, the church workers were devastated. They were doing good works, and they were excited about what they're doing, and they were feeling good about what they were doing. But this was devastating news. Well, they didn't throw their Starbucks out, and they didn't throw their Androids and iPhones away, but they did meet together with their pastor and others in the congregation and began to talk about this unanticipated risk. And they prayed for wisdom. They revised their plan a bit. And this is a part of planning which Debbie and I have talked about. You know, we don't know what's ahead in this ministry that will be coming here among us and we'll be with them. But they got to talking and they said, well, let's change things a bit. God opened their eyes and opened their ears and opened their hearts. And so they decided, let's build a more connectional way of being with one another. Let's sit and talk with these people. Let's bring them a cup of coffee. But also, if they want to help, let's find ways that they can help and alongside of us find value and worth in themselves. Snace writes in his book, Christ moves us closer to suffering, not farther away. I hope you'll never forget that phrase because I think there's reality in it. In this ministry, I have a hunch God's going to open things we haven't even seen in this community or in people. We're going to hopefully remember Matthew 25. And we're going to think about what is the next risk that we need to take. Now, I caution to balance. Make sure we're spending time together in worship and fellowship and developing our own discipleship life. That's the pathway that needs to come back to refresh our spirits. But remember, going and doing is for justice. That's what the purpose of the church is all about. So we're given an opportunity, a great opportunity as a congregation. Will we take the risk of looking for the Christ in those whom we serve? And because of that, will they see the Christ that dwells in us?